This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books written by Joe Hill with art by Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Lock and Key Season 3, Episode 3, 5 minutes past, the episode that made my heart just stop, like literally just stop from the opening credits. If you haven't watched it, go watch it now because we're going to spoil it. But brief overview here. After the wedding, Tyler is still hanging out in Matheson and slowly starting to figure things out. But it may be a little too late, as two big things happen this episode, among many others. Frederick Gideon musters his forces to get some muskets.
He musters his forces.
He musters them.
Don't interrupt him. Let him get through the recap. Would you please?
Come on. Big moves. And then Nina is still dealing with her alcoholism, but through the head key, something that she wrestles with this episode. And Bodhi, upset about Hot Josh, uses the time shift key, goes back accidentally to season two, as we saw in the trailer, brings back Dodge, and the thing that we were worried about from before the season started happens, which is that Dodge takes over Bodhi's body, and now we have bad Bodhi on the loose.
Oh my god.
I mean, very stressful episode.
From the first shot, when you that swirling kind of whispering shot to let you know it's all over,
when you knew
Bodhi went from my favorite character to my least favorite. I was like, what are you doing? Don't go back and talk smack to somebody like that. I mean, just poking the bear.
Well, just
your
to
review, Bodhi?
we're still learning the rules of the time shift key, but the way that we understand it now, and we're getting a little bit more information each episode, is that unlike the comic books, which we've described a couple of times, is like going back and watching a movie, here you can interact with the times past, but you don't change things. It's sort of like a pocket time. The thing that we find out here, though, is that anybody in that time period who holds on to you can travel back to the present. That seems like something that Duncan knows about and may have happened in some way previously, because he's had some specific warnings here. Here, obviously, this goes as bad as you could possibly imagine.
Just the worst.
Well, and I think the way I thought of it, because it doesn't make a ton of sense to me in general. I mean, being rooted in the comic book way it works. But to me, it's like just another version of the Echo. They're taking basically an echo of this person from a different time and bringing them forward. And in that way, I think it makes total sense. It's basically the same policy as that. And then just the dread of Bodhi, bad Bodhi. It's trouble. But this is the third episode of the season, right? So we have five left. I think things are going to get worse quickly.
How can it get worse?
Buckle up, son.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we started with two relatively pleasant episodes and a little bit of fun, even with Gideon, even though Kevin Durant's doing a great job of being a terrifying villain here. But this is the episode, like you're saying, three episodes in where it all turns Again, for those who haven't read the comic books, this is essentially what happens here. Bodhi's body does get taken over by Dodge. It leads to a confrontation in the sea caves in the books, which we kind of already seen in the show, so I think it's going to play out very differently here. But there really is the whole final arc or arcs of the book are this bad Bodhi who's torturing everybody, and they don't realize it until it's pretty much too late. So the moment, like I was saying earlier, the moment in the opening credits when you see the ghost key inside clearly Bodhi's body, the note that I wrote down was, oh no.
Yeah. That's a big uh-oh over here on my notes. And it also, it's complicated by the fact, I don't think we can rely on any of the comic book logic playing out here, because we've got Gideon running around. We've got two major villains, like, fully succeeding right now. At the same time, I don't know how we have no Tyler on the board. Kinsey shouldering her entire family and sort of cracking under the pressure. Bodhi being honestly a little selfish, like get on board with Hot Josh. Let's go. See, this is what it is. Your rejection of Hot Josh is leading Bodhi to disaster, Pete. And he, you know, he learned that from you. He learned that by watching you.
All right, listen, you can't blame Bodhi for being a little skeptical of some Josh character coming in, swooping in and trying to, you know, get in on his family. He's gone through a lot. I just wish that after you just barely beat a boss character last season, you don't go back and taunt like that. I mean, that
he was flexing on him. He was flexing on him. And that's not Bodhi.
It really bit him hard. And what stinks is he knew that was a trap. He knew the ghost tag was a horrible idea, yet he went for it anyway. Just, so hard to not.
Yeah, you're jumping around a little bit, but I understand what you're saying. It's heartbreaking because we know Bodhi is usually the person in the Locke family that's ahead of everybody here.
Exactly.
And he is doing nothing but messing up this season, like from putting everything down in the notebook, which gives...
I don't blame him for that. I would do that. That's a 100%.
You just can't leave it out. You know what I mean? You got so many cool places to hide things. Pick one.
Yeah.
You're not gonna make a fun little notebook if you have all those keys. What are you gonna do? What, go back to school? Go read some science? You got magic keys.
All right.
You're gonna make a book of magic keys.
But here at least, I really love the emotional layers of this episode. I thought everybody was reacting off of, getting back to these central themes of loss with Rendell Locke, through Bodhi, through Nina, through Kinsey, through even like Tyler dealing with Jackie's loss still here. I thought this was a really emotionally nuanced episode. And even though I was frustrated and upset about what Bodhi is doing with the ghost tag at the end, like you talk about where he tries to trick Dodge by pretending to be a ghost and then Dodge is not tricked because Dodge is Dodge and Dodge is smart.
That was cool.
To all of the things that happened in the scene there where he's yelling at everybody. Like he is spurred on by the fact that Nita's got a new hot daddy and left her old hot daddy behind.
All right. First off, don't put that on Nina. I mean, she's going through a lot in this episode. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She's got two hot daddies. She's got an overabundance of hot daddies on this show.
What is your deal? You are too old to say those phrases. It creeps me the fuck out.
Never too old to say hot daddy.
Pete, we are hot daddies. Yeah, exactly. And Pete, you're taking care of three kids over the weekend, so technically you're a de facto hot daddy as well.
Do they call you hot daddy or what?
No. What's going on there?
No, I would need
hot
to
daddy,
get,
hot daddy get, Pete, change my diaper.
We need to get back on track here. Just so you guys know, if for some reason I die near a creepy well, just leave me down there. Don't throw me off a cliff. You know what I mean? Just leave me at the bottom of the well.
Well, let me ask you this. Wouldn't you want it? Like, she was very cold.
Yes, sorry, you're jumping over to the Eden thing. Just a little bit of context here before we start going back and forth about this.
Well, so jumping from the Bodhi thing to the Eden thing. I'm going to move on.
Okay, I know. We're going to come back to it later. But they discover Eden's body at the bottom of the well. Kinsey calls on the Savinis to
never go near a well. Just never do
the body up. They give her a funeral. We talked about this a little bit the last episode, but once again, Kinsey sings. This time she sings, I believe it's Hear You Me by Jimmy Eat World.
And the Savinis join in.
And there's, again, like getting back to the past, they're doing such an incredible job this season. Just that quick flash on the cliffs of going from the Savinis to the Keeper of the Keys back in Rendell Locke's days without explicating it, without anybody being like, hey guys, this is really like that thing that our parents did back in the day. I thought it was so smart and well done.
I agree. It was really cool. It took me a second. I was like, oh, did they just flash to the keepers of the keys? And I was really impressed and surprised that they would be sort of so showing rather than telling of that. And I really liked it. And again, it makes me think, I don't know if I've said this before, I think we're going to get the Tempest scene from high school.
You never brought that up. Because we're really laying out.
We got Gordy on the back burner, and we're seeing keepers in the young state. You don't just bring those actors back for a quick flash. They're going to be in the Tempest.
Well, let me throw this out to you then. If a lot of this episode, and I guess we'll see where we go the rest of the season, but a lot of this episode is about repeating the mistakes of the past or just repeating moments from the past, from throwing your friends off of a cliff after they've died to hide the bodies, to Nina revisiting her memories with Rendell Locke. Do you think the season is going to be about pushing past that, getting to a new future?
Yeah, I think it's like sort of absorbing the pain of your past. I mean, that's what Nina's story was like here, I think. And even to keep it on the Eden stuff, it was absorbing sort of what Eden did, the good and the bad, and the fact that she was a demon for a lot of that, and sort of looking at her as a whole person and then moving past her. Like, they very cleanly and, like, they physically move past her and they emotionally sort of close the loop on that. And I thought that was really nice. And the same with Nina. I think she's like, she goes to a dark place when she's reliving all of her drinking moments and just seeing how bad it was for her family.
She needed to see it to kind of like deal with it. And it was a really cool moment between her and Kinsey to be like, hey, listen, you're kind of stepping over a line here. I appreciate what you're doing, but I need to do this. And she needed to see it to kind of get past it there.
And to me, it felt like this is an audition for what they're when they're going to bring Tyler into the fold. It's basically the same beats. She's like, Kinsey was like, you're in trouble. We need to deal with this as a family. And I'm going to overstep my bounds a little bit, enter your head key head and try to deal with this. Same thing with Tyler. They're going to unlock him, I think, probably next episode. I know you called it this episode, Alex.
I know.
It's got to be next episode.
Yeah.
And I think unlock him. He's going to have to deal with his guilt, which is, I think, is the issue with Jackie's death, and then move on because they lost Bodhi here. They don't know it yet, but
oh my god! I think just to further speculate. Sorry, and then I'll turn it over to you, Pete. I think we could see a thing where everybody's like, you know what? We've really dealt with our trauma, and that's when they find out that they've lost Bodhi, and it just destroys everybody. Go ahead, Pete.
Oh yeah. Well, you just kind of destroyed my point. I just think though that if you keep bringing up oyster crackers, eventually we're gonna have to see some people eat chowder, right?
What, like,
you gotta show us the chowder. You gotta let us see how good this chowder is. You know what I mean?
Oyster crackers are the new chowder, is what I wrote down for this episode. I do think we've moved past the chowder talk. Also, librarian. He fucked up. Yeah. He tried to do it too hard to do his job.
We are all over the place right now.
Yeah. Can we? All right, I want to go back to what Justin was saying, though, about the Kinsey kind of moment there with her mom. It was hilarious how there was this, like, really deep moment, and then you just hear Kinsey's voice go, I hated that dress. You know, and all of a sudden you realize she's there. That was such a cool move. Very fun. And it kind of represents a little bit of the jumping kind of moment stuff that the comics brought. So I was very happy with that moment.
A jump scare.
I didn't necessarily see it that way, but I do think having those two characters connect like we're talking about was really smart and really nice. I wrote down the exchange, which I thought was awesome, that just really brought it home, where Nina, after that, says, I haven't taken a drink. And Kinsey shoots back, you still found a way to relapse.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, that was smart. That's great dialogue, and I like that too. And then on the other side of it, we get Rendell being sort of a little bit of a savior here. And I think putting out this idea that when you're in a family, different people are suffering at different times, and so it's someone else's turn to come in and sort of swoop up and boost them back up so they can keep moving forward. And right now, I think the problem is it's been all on Kinsey in this episode, so she really needs someone else to keep the balloon in the air along with her.
Yeah.
Kinsey and the ghost of Rendell Locke, essentially.
Absolutely. Now, do you think there's a possibility, I don't think they'd go this route, but do you think they could use the time shift key same way they did with Dodge to bring Rendell forward in time?
Oh, my gosh.
I do. I mean, it's set there. I mean, how cool would it be to end this season with the full Locke family at full power?
And in this scenario, Hot Josh is like standing at the window with his hands on the window being like,
no.
That's a good point. Hot Josh, though, that makes me think. I predicted a little bit of this last season. Hot Josh may go down this season. He's too hot for this world. Like a phoenix.
So, like, okay, this is getting back to the comic book. And we know they're not going to do it exactly like the comic book. But there is a final moment where, if I remember correctly, Tyler reconnects with Rendell towards the end of the series. I think we could get something like that. Like, the show has hit that beat a lot, but it's a really good place to end. And it does feel like a cheat to me to fully bring him back, but I think we will see him in some fashion.
I feel like he himself would come back and be like, I'm not meant to be here. And he would then take himself out of, because he knows his time has passed. He's not Dodge. He's not clinging to some revenge or anything. He's like, I did my time here on in this plane. I'm going to go, which I think is another theme from the comics, where it's very much about characters knowing their time to come and go.
I did like the fact that when we got inside Nina's head, it was like this cool antique shop. I mean, those lunchboxes, old school lunchboxes, were really fun. I thought that was a cool way to – I like how each kind of season we get inside different people's heads. There's a different style, a different feel. It's yeah, very her, creative.
Her store, Lamps and Lunchboxes, would crush in like a small New England town.
I would stop my car and pull over and check it
100%,
out.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
This was – we did – to be clear, we did see it a little bit in the, I believe, the season finale last season. But they definitely shot it in a different way from different angles, which probably shows that either, you know – they fleshed it out a little bit more, addressed it in a different way, or just decided to shoot it differently, which I thought was really cool. What else should we talk about? We should talk about Tyler's storyline a little bit. We've touched on it, but he is still starting to grapple with the missing moments in his memory. He's finding out that Kinsey didn't actually report things to the police, which is very frustrated about. And probably most important, Hot Josh is trying to be his hot daddy over at the History Museum.
He takes a hot tour with Hot Josh's hot daddy, to put it. And that tour was hot.
Pete?
No, it wasn't. It was nice to see Tyler hang out with his friend again. I really thought their kind of walk and talk Logan. Was fun. Logan. Yeah. And I also loved how Logan was like, yeah, this is awkward, bro. What you're dealing with is super awkward. So I thought that was it's a real fun.
Now, I honestly don't remember. Logan doesn't know about any of this stuff, right? Or he does?
I think he was sort of on the fringes of it. But yeah, I don't think he was a big part of it here.
Yeah. But it was good seeing him again. And I'm curious to see how Tyler is going to remember and how they're going to get him to remember. I did like the Locke History Museum, the Matheson History Museum. I thought that was kind of a neat addition to the world of the show. What do you think is going on? We've talked about this a little bit, and not to stick with Hot Josh, but I do think it's relevant. He has that uniform of a captain. Is that, I couldn't quite see the numbers and I probably should have gone back to check. Was that
The evil dude was 22. That was 23. The one on display.
Jordan's number.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was
shout
not,
out to Mike.
That was not Gideon's uniform. That was the guy who, I guess, came after Gideon or something.
Yeah, the
like
next
that.
Regiment or something.
Because Gideon died. I'm curious what I feel like Josh is going to end up being related to Gideon, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means for him. Since now we're seeing Dodge going to Bodhi, it does feel strange that there would be another possession character going on, unless Gideon puts a demon in Josh, which I think could be something that happens.
Yeah. The
one more thing on that. I think we saw perhaps a portent of that in Tyler seeing Detective Mutuku's picture on display at the police station.
I was hoping you were going to correct the way you said put a demon in him, because that was just a weird phrase.
You don't like that? No, put a demon in that daddy? Daddy demon? Hot demon daddy? Sorry, Peter, I just was asking for clarification. You prefer hot demon daddy?
No, I just accidentally.
I'm just saying there's a chance we could get a hot demon daddy situation that could really mess things up in an already complicated villain scenario.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see if he puts a hot demon daddy inside of him. Pete?
Stop, please.
You know what we're going to do is we'll pull a Pete cheering and joyfully laughing from another episode, which we have, and drop it in right there.
It's too much post. You know that won't happen. It's not like
listen,
we have
man,
a line
you seem producer. A little bummed about this conversation. Why don't you have yourself a gin chowder, get it white and creamy, and just chill out?
Oh, man.
Glad we're carrying that forward.
One thing I wanted to talk about was Frederick Gideon and his compatriots. They get some
sweet haircuts and new looks. Is that
I don't know
you're...
if they got haircuts. They definitely like brush their hair.
He cut his pony.
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah.
I mean, it's very funny. I feel like they maybe listened to our previous podcast where I was talking shit about their hygiene, and they were like, you know what? Let's clean it up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
What did you think, Justin, since you were pretty high on how messy they were, the fact that they got some sweet leather jackets to wear?
I mean, the fact that they're dressing like characters from Happy Days feels funny and weird in a good way. And also that they've shifted now with the emergence of Dodge. The first two episodes, I feel like we're meant to dread these guys. In the whole that library sequence, despite the fact that they murder the librarian,
scalped
him. Terrifying.
Very terrifying.
Shot like a Savini film, by the way, which I thought was funny. They are, in this episode, occupied sort of a goofier villain position, which
it's
I think
like
is
like a Demolition Man nod. You know, it was
well,
a lot
particularly
going.
Because of the weapons that they're trying to get here. Like, they've learned just so much about the modern day, but clearly not enough to know that having muskets that they need to reload with powder or whatever is going on there is probably not the most efficient thing to do.
You know what they remind me of in Back to the Future? Biff and his sidekicks from when Michael J. Fox goes back to the 50s. They're like goofy and sort of villainy, but like dumb also. So I think that's a fun spot for them, especially if Bad Bodie is going to be the actual scary part of the show.
Let me throw out a theory to you that goes in the opposite direction. I do think they're the big villains of the season, because the thing that was put on the back burner this episode was the fact that Gideon can open up these portals. I still think we're going to get some sort of massive portal in the middle of Matheson sucking the whole town, an apocalyptic thing going on. So I wonder if we're going to get a swerve on the Bad Bodhi thing and Dodge is actually going to join their side. Because something that was hinted at in the previous season, in particular with Eden, knowing Frederick Gideon, and Dodge also kind of talking about this demon society on the other side of the portal. I wonder if there's like going to be a rivalry type thing going on there. And Dodge being like, no, I'm the big bad in town.
Some kind of civil war or something going on?
Well, I think Gideon seems to be the leader of the demons in some fashion. So I wonder if Dodge will be like, no, screw that. This world is mine. I'm not going to let you have it.
I had that thought as well, especially since.
Oh, okay. Then why don't you say it out loud? I said it first.
I'm not trying to take credit for it. I just want to detail my thinking on that.
Sure.
Alex has proprietary rights to the Dodge is Hero.
Copyright Zalbin, 2032.
Yeah. A little late on that.
Oh, I should have said that. I always forget.
What I mean by that is, I don't know what that the way I thought about it was, I don't know what that gets them, especially now that we're doing the Bad Bodhi thing. Because I thought if Dodge was going to be Dodge and be a little bit more of just like an echo of what Dodge was, then it would make more sense. But with Dodge in Bodhi, I don't know how that we sort of thread that needle through to the conclusion of that.
It's a lot of stuff going on, and I guess we'll see what happens. But why don't we get back to this episode, since there's still a bunch more things to pull out. Any moments in particular you guys want to mention?
Well, I mean, we got to talk about the big deal is we finally got Tyler's car shown in this new season. So I'm hoping more shots of that, because it was a great romantic shot. You know, it was nighttime, but you still got to see a lot of the car, just like the outline. It was beautiful.
Speaking of things with Tyler, he also gets a text from Carly, who's checking in on him. He has a little bit of a conversation with Logan about that. Do you think there's something there, or is that more, maybe that's part of the theme we've been talking about in terms of he can't let go of this memory of Jackie. It's incomplete. Eventually, maybe he'll be able to move on with
Or Carly. He just couldn't really explain it in a way that Logan would believe him. Like, oh, let me get this straight. You're working construction, and then there's an attractive lady who's also just working construction.
I feel like there are going to be attractive ladies working construction listening to our podcast. I believe that's 50% of our listening audience who are going to be very offended by this talk. Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
And again, I work construction and can attest that it's exactly how it goes. Still getting texts from some former coworkers being like, are you okay? People love to take care of that.
I don't think that's an attraction thing, Justin. What? I think they legitimately want to know if you're okay.
Yeah, you should text them.
Feel like they keep asking, are you okay? Are you okay? We haven't heard from you. That's love. That's like hot. That's like super hot daddy stuff. Mm-hmm. Hot demon daddy. I'm their hot demon daddy. Shout out to anybody I worked construction with like fully 15, 20 years ago. Bummer. I wanted to say that, yeah, I think the Carly thing feels like it's something that can pull Tyler away a little bit, while also the fact that he won't reply to her is him not refusing to just deal with anything emotional in his life.
I just to jump over to a different topic. We touched on the Nina head memories a little bit before, but I wanted to give a shout out how nuanced I thought they were in terms of alcoholism. I think we're used to like the point that they eventually build to where she wrecks the Kinsey's gingerbread house, spills wine or alcohol or liquor or whatever she was drinking all over Kinsey. Like, I think that's the kind of thing you expect from these scenes, but the more subtle form of abuse that comes with Nina just being sloshed on this camping trip hurts in exactly the same way. And those are the things that kids remember in exactly the same way. And that ultimately it almost hurts even more, the fact that she's just not there. You know, she's emotionally and mentally not there. And it's awful and hard to watch, but so well played by Darby Stanchfield.
And the, you know, the promise moment where, you know, he was like, you know, you made a promise to these kids, and she says, damn straight. That was really cool.
Yeah. One thing sort of going forward, do we want to talk about maybe some predictions a little bit now?
Yeah, we can do that. I think we've certainly touched on a bunch of them, but... there was something else I want to talk about. Oh, before we get to predictions, we also jumped past some of the time shift key stuff a little bit. I just, again, wanted to give a shout out of like, it feels like they've hit the ground running this season. You know, one thing we've actually lauded the show for in the past is they do a really good job of weaving explanation into the episodes. It does feel a little bit like, and I don't know if this was a function of kind of suspecting this was the last season or just how they edited or whatever, that they're just like, nah, you've watched the first two seasons. Let's go. Jumping into like without explanation, a season two scene and then having the riff on it, I thought was so awesome the way that was edited. Bodhi hearing it up the stairs and you as an audience member immediately being able to realize, oh, that's where they're going. That's what's going on. And the riff on that scene was so cool. I thought that was so well done. Also the line in that scene where Bodhi shouts, you lose, Dodge. Ha! Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Horrible idea.
The things at the end there, I wrote down so many lines of like Dodge saying, thanks for the ride. Great to see Layla D. Oliveira. Maybe I'm mispronouncing her name. Back as Dodge because she's so terrifying. Yeah, I'm down for a little ghost tag. And the double fake of Dodge saying boo. Yeah. Great stuff. And also Jackson Robert Scott's smile at the end, his evil little smile. Terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm very scared about the next episode.
Very, so very, very upsetting. Like, because the title of the episode, I was like, oh, when are we going to get it? And then I was like, oh, this is going to end so horribly. And it really does set it up for a, oh, man, tune in next time.
Well, it's crazy that, like, he's like, I'm going to go use the time shift key to see my dad. And he just presses a bunch of buttons and it's like, what, where is, no one's being very helpful here or figuring it out before he dives into it, which is sort of the way they approach the case.
So you're saying you were upset that it wasn't supervised? Like, nobody was looking out to be like, hey, where are you setting that for? Like, maybe.
I don't know. If I'm a Bodhi and I'm like, I want to call home, I know the phone number. You can't just smash your hand into the keypad and hope you get to connect with the person.
I mean, I'll throw out there that, again, this is like a relatively subtle thing that's weaved through the episode, but Nina is so drunk on the head key, she doesn't know and isn't concentrating on what's going on with Bodhi. Like, Kinsey brings her back from the edge, but all of this happens exactly because Pete's saying it, because Bodhi was not supervised. She hid the time shift key. And she
not super well
in the disco purse. Yeah, like that's
the disco purse.
But that's exactly it. Like, she's repeating the mistakes of the past again here.
And let's also remember that she couldn't watch Bodhi because she was going to spend time with Rendell, and same thing that Bodhi wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a little taste of seeing Rendell, what she does when she is with Bodhi, and she shuts it off because she has to deal with her own thing. So Rendell is the solution, and also a little the loss of Rendell, the problem that they're all grappling with.
Yeah, I mean, if I could interpret what you're saying, she got a little taste of that hot daddy, and she went back for more. Is that what you're saying, Justin?
I can't believe I didn't use those words, because that's how I wrote it down in my notes. prediction going forward, now that Bodhi's fully ghosted, we're going to see our ghosts again. We're going to see a little Sam Lesser pop up. We're going to see some Chamberlain.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Chamberlain. What's he doing? He's one of my favorite characters because they go over to him and he's like, hello, here I am.
Just extreme Harry Potter painting energy from Chamberlain. But I also think Sam Lesser hasn't gotten that redemptive arc, and I do think that is coming as well.
Well, that is a very good call out. Why don't we then move on to our key moments in the episode? Justin, what's your key moment? Was it that specifically?
Well, yeah, let's say it's that because I was talking about it like that. I feel like Bodhi has a lot of time episodically to figure some stuff out, to observe. In the comic, it is, Bodhi comes through right at the end. But I think he has a chance to be a little bit more, have a little more influence on the action since he has so much time. And then obviously the Sparrow comic, which we won't spoil too much about what happens, though maybe we already have in the past. I feel like we're going to see that as well very soon.
Pete, what about you? What's your key moment in the episode?
The key moment is Bodhi being a complete douche and really fucking things up for the home team here. And, I feel like iCarly is going to come back hard and, help the situation. You know what I mean?
I think it's hard to think of another key moment other than Bodhi getting taken over by Dodge, because that's definitely the biggest thing that happens in the episode. But I'll throw it out to Nina getting turned around from her head key addiction, perhaps. I think that's something that she is still dealing with. It'll be interesting to see how that affects her going forward throughout the end of the rest of the season, how she potentially coaches Tyler through his own memory problems as well. Curious to see how it all pans out emotionally for this family. And folks, if you would like to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Lock and Key. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep it locked right here.
And as always, stay high, you demon daddies.
Oh, boy.